Let's do four. Let's move to 490, and then Mike, do you have a few minutes, Mike? How's your schedule?
Fine. I don't see Bob or Brad.
Okay, very good. So let's very good. Let's go ahead and move to 490, please.
490 deconstruction program 6 month status report.
Very good. BPS is here this morning to report on the 6 month status of the deconstruction program, which was required by the deconstruction ordinance that was put in place by the City Council last October. 2 years ago, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability convened an advisory group that included, amongst others, neighborhood activists, home builders, historic preservationists, deconstruction contractors, and salvage retailers. The group was put together to recommend ways to advance deconstruction and material reuse as an alternative to material demolition and then, of course, shipping everything off to the landfill. After providing incentives and technical assistance for several years, the city began to require deconstruction for homes over 100 years old that were slated for demolition. What started as a small grant program has evolved substantially into a first-in-the-nation requirement. And it's a requirement that is having a very positive impact on the community. This deconstruction requirement is an important part of Portland's leadership on reducing carbon emissions and landfill waste. It's also helping to inspire other jurisdictions across the country to consider similar approaches to the one that we've adopted here. In fact, Portland was selected to host a national deconstruction and reuse conference this fall due to our groundbreaking policies and the people who helped provide the leadership behind them. So we're going to hear from BPS leadership today, and then it's my understanding we have four people testifying following your presentation. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Very good. Thank you and welcome.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Elisa Kane. I'm the Green Building Manager. I'm joined here with my colleague Sean Wood from Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As the mayor mentioned, last October, Portland became the first city in the nation to require deconstruction instead of mechanical demolition for select projects. This policy is helping us reduce waste and keep Portland's history out of the landfill, cut carbon emissions, mitigate health hazards, and spur economic development. Being first in the nation means we had a very big puzzle to put together, and we wanted to be able to come back here 6 months into it and share all our successes to date. The report you have in front of you goes into much greater detail, but we're going to provide some of the highlights today.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. I'm Sean Wood. I'm the construction waste specialist for the Bureau. I'm also administer the deconstruction program. Just as a refresher, the deconstruction ordinance requires that houses or duplexes built in 1916 or earlier or designated historic regardless of age must be deconstructed when they come in for a demolition permit. The year 1916 was chosen primarily because in the years leading up to the ordinance, it represented one-third of demolitions. So that was a significant amount of house demolitions, but it was chosen as the right threshold that we could both advance the industry, but at the same time not overwhelm them. I think the last time we were here, we used the term bold but balanced, and I think that we struck a good chord. Since the ordinance went into effect in October, we've had 34 demolition permits that have been subject to the deconstruction requirements. Two of those BPS determined were exempt, so we do have exemptions for hazardous structures or ones that represent very limited reuse. So, for example, we had one that suffered from pretty extensive fire damage, so that one was determined exempt. And as I said, in the past, 1916 or earlier, that year built threshold has represented 33% of demolitions. To date, it represents 21%. Part of that may just be we're not through a full annual cycle with the permits. There could be some market reaction to that. It's kind of unknown to us at this point, but it is down 21% for that sector of demolitions. We've had 11 projects completed so far. The rest of those 30, the remainder of those are in the permit pipeline, but 11 have physically come down. And to date, just adding up all the lumber that has been salvaged from those projects alone equates to over 6.5 miles of lumber. And for equivalency, that's the distance from City Hall to the airport. So imagine 2x4s, 2x6s, flooring all stacked end to end. We've salvaged that much material already. There's also some noteworthy advances in the industry to date. When the ordinance first got passed in July of last year, we knew we'd have to have additional folks on the ground to do this work since we were going to be having more deconstruction projects. So we held a deconstruction contractor training later in July after the ordinance passed. And that particular training was a hands-on 3-day training at a live deconstruction site. We had 16 participants at that contractor training representing 12 different companies. 10 of those companies were minority women-owned and emerging small business or MWESB certified firms that participate in the city's prime contractor development program. When we first kicked off the ordinance in October, we had 7 certified deconstruction contractors. So, again, as a reminder, any of these projects that are subject to the requirements have to be taken down by a certified contractor. So we had 7 when we first kicked off the ordinance. To date, we have 12 certified deconstruction contractors. There's a 13th in the wings that will probably be certified here within the next month. 2 of the companies that ended up getting certified became companies because of this ordinance. So they are brand new companies and they're competing in the marketplace and succeeding, but it's because of this ordinance that they're even here. And there have also been a number of different salvage retail facilities that have opened up over the last year, and even one of the new contractors is opening up a facility to complement their work. So some pretty exciting advances so far.
So ensuring that there were enough firms to do the work was critical, but also important was that there was enough workforce to be able to serve those firms. And in March of this year, we hosted a 12.5-day training for workforce development specifically. It was at 4 active deconstruction sites. And with sponsorship from Metro and DEQ, BPS partnered with Earth Advantage and local pre-apprentice programs and nonprofits to recruit candidates for the training. Our goal, as stated in the original ordinance, was to prioritize participation by women, people of color, and other groups disadvantaged in the construction industry. The result of this training was quite admirable, and we had a very diverse crew, and with the help of Oregon tradeswomen in particular, we had more than half of them were women.
That's great.
That's very good. You'll hear from a few of them today, actually.
Good.
So with Council's acceptance of this report, BPS recommends that we continue to monitor the program, and assuming continued success, we would return to Council in fall with an ordinance to raise the year built threshold from 1916 to 1926. That would essentially cover about half of all house demolition. So again, in the past it's been 33%. Currently, it's 21%. If we went to 1926, it would be about 55%. So let's dial it back to approximately half. And that would become effective January 1st of 2018. So looking at starting this off on a calendar year, I think just administratively, that will be easier.
Very good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. I have a question.
Please, Commissioner Daly.
I understand part of the decision to set that 100-year... Mark, was a matter of capacity of the existing industry to take down those homes. And I also understand that the closer we get to World War II, I think the less valuable the materials become. But the 10-year advance, approximately 6 months from now, seems small. Could you speak to that? Like, why not be a little more aggressive on the dates and the timeline?
Sure. I like analogies, and sometimes I get them right, and sometimes I don't. But Right now we're at 21%, so I don't think we've seen the full impact of the ordinance. So I kind of liken it to turning on a hot water tap, and you kind of have to wait for the hot water to show up. I think we may still be waiting for that. Coming back in fall, we'll have a better idea about the full impact of this first step. I'm very confident in our workforce that we have right now to physically take down these buildings. I think we could take down more and be more aggressive in that sense. The question mark, and again, going back to the fact that only 11 of these have physically come down, we don't know the full impact on the marketplace.
Right.
So the risk in moving faster is, yes, we could take them down in a timely manner, but is there the infrastructure to accept that material and sell it? Is there enough demand? So there's no right answer, I think.
That was my second piece of the question, because I have heard from Rebuilding Center that pushing it out to consumers is a challenge, and I've also received a request or suggestion that we come up with some kind of one-stop drop for these materials to be then kind of redistributed out.
Yeah, and from where I sit, demand remains strong for these materials. I mean, the fact that we've had new stores opening, Habitat is opening another new store here in the next year. It's just we haven't seen the full impact of this first step is where we're at right now.
Okay, thank you.
And Stephen, the executive director from the Rebuilding Center, will be speaking next to be able to answer
see
that.
Him.
Yes.
I would just like to support Commissioner Daly's point. I think when we talked about this before, the recession, the Great Depression was kind of the cutoff when all the lovely things were not put into buildings anymore. So even if it was another 5 years, that would be something that would be helpful. Just thinking about it. Thank you.
Yes.
And we do have a goal of getting to 1941 by 2019. So we do see these as a series of steps working to at least 1941 and then reevaluate and go from there.
Thank you.
Very good. And did you have a particular order for testimony from your invited guests?
If you'd like to start with Stephen.
Sure.
And then the order it comes from there.
Okay.
Yes.
Emily, Ryan, then Savannah.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good work. And your analogy landed fine. That was good.
Okay.
It was good. Well done. Stephen? Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Stephen Reichert. I serve as the Executive Director of the Rebuilding Center. I've had the opportunity to meet directly with a number of you to give you an update on the deconstruction ordinance. So as many of you know, 6 months in, we consider it to be a positive. While we've only generated a few more proposals this year than we had at this time last year, we're seeing more requests for whole house deconstructions. We're currently booked out about 2 months. And while this may seem a lot long time for some contractors who are new to the deconstruction opportunity, at this time of year, which is our busy season, it's fairly normal. And frankly, when it gets less than a month, we begin to worry about the possibility of having to do layoffs in the future. So we're just about where we want to be. We have two active crews currently, and we've hired two new deconstructionists, and we hope to add a third, which will allow us to add a third crew. There continues to be strong demand for materials, and in fact, April was our strongest retail month since October of 2014. Last February, when City Council approved the ordinance initially, we promised you that the ordinance would reduce materials to the landfill, reduce the amount of hazardous materials in the atmosphere, and that we would hire with an equity lens in mind. And I'm happy to report to you that we're accomplishing all of these objectives. We were very pleased to be involved in recruiting trainees to the city-sponsored deconstruction training in March. At our suggestion, the city and Metro provided stipends to the trainees, which we believe to be the best practice. In the event of the 15 trainees who participated in the 12-day training, every single one was from a priority population, a woman, a person of color, or someone who was formerly incarcerated. We hired two of these trainees, hope to hire one more, and indeed as part of our work with a new coalition called the Green Workforce Initiative that includes SEI, the Blueprint Foundation, and EcoTrust, we are tentatively scheduled to conduct a two-week deconstruction training at Grant High School as part of the remodeling of Grant High School. So pretty exciting stuff. The ordinance has put Portland on the map of the reuse world, and we will be hosting the biannual meeting of the Business Materials Reuse Association in September. For our part, the Rebuilding Center will be presenting on how reuse can be used to build equitable and sustainable community. It's a great opportunity for our city to showcase just how great weird can be. So in conclusion, let me just say this. We believe the implementation to date has been successful. We are ready and able to take another bite of the apple. 1926 seems like a good compromise, and with your support, we are confident that we can continue to bring these houses down in a timely manner, further reducing waste to the landfill, hazardous waste in the air, while creating meaningful living wage jobs for marginalized communities. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Please, Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Udaly alluded to the idea of a one-stop drop-off place. And I want to just put it in context. We sold our house last year and have really dramatically reduced our footprint. And so a lot of the stuff we had, we wanted to donate. And under the current system, you know, you look at the sort of reuse Portland family, and you decide where you want to give things. And Community Warehouse is a family favorite, so you arrange to have furniture and, you know, things like that. And then we have books, garden equipment, all kinds of things. My sense is that it's already stressful enough to buy a home or sell a home, generally. And if there's some way to create a more unified system for people, it'll also cut down on unnecessary vehicle trips of scheduling different people to do pickups and deliveries. And I don't know, Stephen, in the short term, whether it's finding a place where you could take everything or whether it's maybe coordinating pickup in a way that you could do one call and someone could pick up lots of different kinds of things and then sort it. But I think the more we rationalize that and make it easier for people, the more the system's going to work. And, you know, it wasn't until we did all that work a number of years ago around reuse, PDX, and other things until I understood the breadth of the related industries. And, you know, there are a number of them are on MLK now and a number of them in other places clustered. But I, having gone through the experience of closing down a home and relocating, you know, the more convenient we make it, we'll have serve, I think, a number of goals, more participation, less vehicle travel, miles. So I'm very interested in this concept that Chloe talked about a one-stop place to drop stuff. But in the short term, I would welcome one pickup that allows you to have that sort of sorts out all your stuff and helps you do that. And I look forward to working with both of you on that.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. If Emily, Ryan, and Savannah want to come up together, there's plenty of room at the same time. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
I don't know who wants to go first.
Happy to go first.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. My name is Emily Christensen. I'm speaking on behalf of Goodwood Deconstruction and Salvage. We are one of the businesses that responded to the ordinance. We actually were driving home from doing a deconstruction in Hillsboro and heard it on the radio. And we were just doing a personal deconstruction to salvage material for a backyard studio. And we're enjoying the process so much that our ears were attuned to the information, and we were so excited that here was an opportunity to participate in an industry that otherwise would be so foreign, so beyond us. So we formed a crew and became certified, and now we are we're on our fourth house since November, and we're a thriving business.
Excellent. That's great news. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Ryan Harrelson. I'm here representing Northwest Deconstruction Specialist. I guess my take on the whole deal, as far as experience goes, everything's been positive. To sum it up in one word, you know, it's really positive. Originally from Kansas City, Missouri, breadbasket, Bible Belt of this country. We have a lot of buildings coming down consistently, and there's a lot of worth there. So when I heard about this program similar to you, my ears being attuned to a person that always has to be resourceful, most likely about materials and usage of space, it just clicked with me. So I had a great time with the programming, met a lot of cool people. There was a really diverse crew of folks that I got to meet and work with. And from there, I received plenty of job offers, which was great. It was really, really a valuable opportunity for me and continues to be so. All of the job opportunities, really difficult to decide where, you know, to work because it was just quality opportunities being offered, and which is, for me, I know I have the ability. I'm a college graduate. I have a lot of different skills, work with a lot of different people, and it always seems to come down, so there's this unknown of, what's the real possibilities here? And I think that for a lot of people like myself, women, minorities, people formerly incarcerated, I think that, you know, the sky's the limit for offering real, genuine opportunities to these types of people. I'm still enjoying myself at work today. We'll be going back to work, deconstructing a home in Northeast, and I don't see myself stopping anytime soon, so... as far as to sum it up, I'd say positive, positive, positive. And it's really going back to an old way that makes more sense. We can't be throwing valuable things in the trash, you know, and it's just not smart. So I agree fully and look forward to continue.
Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I prepared something a little nervous. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Savannah Stegan with Lovett Deconstruction. I recently attended the deconstruction workforce training put on by the city. I heard about it through Oregon Tradeswomen Incorporated. I attended Oregon Tradeswomen's winter pre-apprenticeship program, where I had the opportunity to work with deconstruction services on a full house deconstruction. I discovered I loved the work, and I went home and did some research on deconstruction. I loved what I read, especially the sustainability the craft offers. The idea of reusing, repurposing, and recycling building materials while lessening the impact on our landfills really spoke to me. I've always enjoyed hard manual labor, problem solving, and learning the best and most efficient way to do things, so I thought deconstruction might be the right fit for me. Oregon Tradeswomen told me about the deconstruction workforce training that was to be put on right after graduation. I signed up and was accepted. In the interim, I contacted Dur Lovett with Lovett Deconstruction and told him of my interest in working for him after I graduated the pre-apprenticeship program and after I'd finished deconstruction training. He hired me before I was through with both, but I didn't start work with him until after. The deconstruction training taught me more than I could have imagined and prepared me for the work ahead of me. Thanks to the deconstruction training, I was familiar with decon processes, materials, and tools. There's a world of knowledge yet to acquire, but I feel the deconstruction training really helped solidify my choice to go into deconstruction as well as give me confidence and some know-how before stepping onto my first job site with Lovett. Before all this, I worked in a warehouse part-time, and before that, I was a pet sitter barely scraping by. Now I work full-time and make more money than I have before. I see deconstruction as a career path, and I'm excited for the future. I'd also like to add that the deconstruction workforce training instructors Dave Bennick and Sarah Badiali were incredibly knowledgeable, supportive, and helpful. A lot of my success is thanks to them. I am so grateful for my experience with the training and would like to thank everyone else that was involved. I think deconstruction is a foot in the right direction as our city grows. Training people with the skills to deconstruct our old homes and buildings seems like a viable and necessary endeavor. I hope that others might have the same opportunity that I've been so fortunate to have been given. Thank you.
Thanks, Savannah. Appreciate it very much.
Could I just ask a question? What kind of wages does this pay? Kind of what's the range? I'm not asking you what you make, but...
Yeah, I'm happy to speak on that. Wages was... It's definitely, like I said, we're a new business, and we believe very strongly in paying a living wage. We pay between, if you want the specifics, between 15 and 25, and then upward toward 45 for our crew leader. And if I just may take a sidestep and... thank Sean Wood and specifically Jordan from Earth Advantage. As we have formed our business and progressed along, the support from the city has been essential.
and the interest in the city to limit the number of deconstructors to a certified deconstructor amount of 12, and I guess now 13, has been essential. If it had been an open playing field, my belief is that the demolition companies that have the existing relationships with the developers would have stepped in to perform that task and would not have provided the opportunity for a new industry to step into the space that was created with the ordinance.
So fabulous. That's really helpful. Mm-hmm. And so what if somebody's looking at home and wants to get involved in this profession, how would they go about it?
Can you repeat your question?
If somebody's watching at home and thinking that making a living wage out of saving beautiful things from old homes is something that they want to do, how would they get involved in this business?
Well, as far as getting involved with our company, we have recently opened up a salvage yard. It's a warehouse. And I think that you guys have done the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that has been an interesting sort of... we didn't necessarily foresee that coming as the next part of our business. It's a two-part business now, so we have a deconstruction, and then we have a salvage yard to sell the materials. And so, you know, having those two revenue streams, we now are looking at employees for the salvage yard. And so in terms of if you're looking to build a beautiful home, you can visit any one of the facilities that now have an abundance of gorgeous material to choose from that wasn't available before.
Thank you very much. This mm-hmm. is very exciting. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you coming to tell us about it.
How about if someone just wants to be a guest deconstructor for a day, because you guys are making it sound really fun.
It is so fun.
And I could use a break from...
Come on down.
Good. Thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We appreciate you taking the time to come here and share your stories and give us this update.
I know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public testimony?
Yes, we have 6 people signed up.
All right. Very good. Thank you for being here.
The first 3 are Terry Parker, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and John Sandy.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Terry Parker. I'm a 4th-generation Portlander living in Northeast Portland, and I also am on the United Neighborhoods Reform Steering Committee. Do you want Portland to be a sustainable city? If so, expanding this program and putting a halt to the mechanical demolition of homes utilizing diesel particulate belching excavators cannot come soon enough. Moreover, the mechanical demolition of homes built prior to 1978 spreads contaminated lead paint dust directly into the air of residential neighborhoods where kids play, families barbecue, and where people simply enjoy the outdoors in the green yards around their homes. Deconstruction is about sustainability and preservation. The reuse of building materials lessens the need for new raw materials, including lumber from growing trees, and preserves historical artifacts such as period window frames, interior moldings, trim, and other materials of character that otherwise could not be replaced. In the 1920s, Portland was in the midst of a new home building boom. These homes were built with high-quality construction using old-growth lumber. There is a vibrant marketplace for both restoration and repurposing uses of these products. It is a crime not to preserve the irreplaceable lumber and reuse the materials from these homes. As compared to mechanical demolition, deconstruction also creates significantly more jobs, including entry-level jobs that can lead to higher-paying jobs. Finally, if the city does not slim down the east side overlay zones identified with the residential infill project, and or if HB 2007 passes through the legislature without significant changes, whereby the bill addresses affordable housing instead of giving developers carte blanche by preempting local zoning, there will be a significant escalation of starter, first-time buyer, and affordable renter homes being torn down. For a city that prides itself by promoting reuse and recycling, it is only common sense to expand the deconstruction program to include homes built between 1916 and 1978. And I attached my view of HB 2007 to your written testimony. So hopefully you can oppose that bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker.
Okay, I'll jump in. Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is John Sandy, and I'm a resident of Northeast Portland. And I guess my message, taken off of Sean's comment, is I'd like to be a little bit more bolder and not quite so cautious with this program. For the last 2.5 years or so, I and many others have come before the council presenting evidence of the significant potential health risk by not using best practices when removing a structure in an urban environment. Last October, the city council finally acted with accountability to their primary responsibility of protecting the residents and took a concrete action by implementing this deconstruction ordinance. A real applause to the boldness of last year. I just want to continue that boldness a little bit. Well, I do have some empathy for the developers' concerns on timing and costs associated with newer development. They should not have the final word on what is acceptable risk to their actions. The council must also hear the fear and angst in the voices of mothers with children. These are the individuals who bear the potential consequences. Within the BPS report, it was mentioned that HB 871 is presently moving through the legislature and in supporting the verification of proper asbestos abatement, as well as the use of best practices when dealing with lead paint dust during demolitions. There is no doubt the effective abatement and full manual deconstruction represents the best practice to minimize spread of hazardous materials while removing a structure. Allowing the market to dictate the timing of the use of best practices is a morally suspect policy in my mind, especially in the light of the fact that a house a day is demolished in Portland. Therefore, I urge the council to fulfill their responsibilities and aggressively push the implementation of deconstruction to include all houses built prior to 1978. While I'm confident that with clear direction from this body, the market could effectively react and demonstrate deconstruction capacity within the next 6 to 12 months. That should not be the driving factor. Doing what is right and proven to reduce exposure and associated risk to residents should not be held hostage by the assumed stress it may place on the developmental market, nor the reuse market. So my final thing is, be bold. This is a great program. You've heard the positives for the sustainability. Don't forget the health impacts, and that's where the boldness should come from. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony, all three of you. Next three, please.
Yep.
Oh, I apologize.
That's
I'm
all right.
Sorry. Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Hope Springs Eternal for you. No. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and the Bridge Crane can pick up a whole different posse of 5 middle-aged white men for you to listen to today. I've been glad to see the attendance to council on this issue from the 2 prior presenters. These houses and all the houses that are being demolished contain toxins, and in the sake of letting developers chase a quick buck, we've been releasing poisons into our neighborhoods and not paying attention, which we should have been paying attention as we learned from the Moss study and the glass companies. So not only is this green on just the basic principles of reuse, not filling the landfill, it's also a tiny, because we've limited to the 1916 houses and now we're only expanding it to houses 1926 and before, it's a tiny but not adequate step to protecting quality of life for our neighbors. If you don't go, as these gentlemen have suggested, all the way up to 1978 or at least move it up to the World War II homes, you're essentially saying, well, so those developers can create some ugly 3-story boxes of multifamily houses that don't have any affordable units. We'll let some toxins, lead paint, whatever, get knocked around in the atmosphere where half the time there isn't even a person spraying a hose to keep the dust down, let alone taking proper precautions. So another, to back that up so far, we'll see what comes up with the next test fires, but none of the poor, distressed, suffering developers have made it in here to tell you how burdensome and horrible this is. So, as the other gentlemen have mentioned, be bold. Hopefully we've got some women and people of color coming behind me to say the same thing.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Next three, please.
Our Kaimona Labute, Barbara Kerr, and Margaret Davis.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. How are you this morning? Well, I am also one of the students that went through the program, and I just thought it was absolutely amazing. I just want to say ditto what Ryan and Savannah both said about it. Phenomenal. Dave Bennett, I think you should be teaching all of the classes. Also want to, again, say thank you to Earth Advantage and the City of Portland for providing the tools, which I would not have been able to do it, you know, if not. Now, for me, because I also was applied for a welding school, which was a similar opportunity. They were going to pay for everything. It started 2 days after it ended, so I have not been able to do any jobs since then. However, I'm excited more about starting a business, and especially after hearing the other Good Works, or Goodwood Company, you know, that's what I'm really excited about. And I think that this is an amazing opportunity. I think that we need to train more people. I think that all houses need to be deconstructed for a lot of the reasons that some of the gentlemen, the three gentlemen that spoke prior to me. And one of the main reasons besides, you know, toxins and those kind of things and things that we did learn about, too, is that, you know, hopefully people are getting permits and not just throwing everything into the, you know, rubbish and all that now. I mean, hopefully it is, and most of the companies are doing it a lot better. And, you know, what we learned also about the whole process of asbestos and lead and all those kind of things. But for me, is the wood. I mean, I think about it, like, when he told me that about the you know, the 6 miles, I mean, I get a little verklempt. And also, too, is, you know, some of this wood prior to that was, some of it was over 500 years old. And now it's 105 years old or 100 and, you know, 650 years old or whatever, you know. I mean, that's some old wood. They don't even have this kind of wood anymore. The wood is stronger. It's amazing. We can do more things with it. They can't even cut wood like that anymore, you know, because we just don't have that. So I just believe that it, you know, as a green, you know, community, that, you know, it's something that is just, we need to do it. I like I said, I think all houses, I don't think it should stop at 26 or 78. I think every house should. And I just want to say thank you again and just thank everybody that is a part of this. The city, Sean Wood, Alicia, Lisa, I mean, just everybody has been phenomenal. Sarah and also Badali, I mean, just gave us so much information. And I just feel like we're hiring you. Mm-hmm. You know. Now, just come on down. Once I start my business, I'm going to need some help. So, we will definitely train you. And, you know, we're excited to do that. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Could you just say your name for the record again?
Oh, Kaimana Lobu. Could
so
you hear
know
that?
To apply to.
Oh, well. And I want to say, and also the Northwest Deconstruction Specialist, you know, they're doing a great job too. Just everybody's just phenomenal. So I'm just excited and proud to be a part of this. So thank you very much.
Taking time to be here.
I know, and I feel bad, but I've been waiting here for a long time. My meter's going to run out, so I do need to take off, and I got to go back to school. So
thank you. We appreciate you being here. Thank you, and good luck with the welding program. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Barbara Kerr, and I represent the United Neighborhoods for Reform on the Deconstruction Advisory Group, or DAG. And UNR is pleased that the year-built timeline for the ordinance requiring deconstruction if a house has to be demolished has been moved up to 1926, starting January 1. However, we feel this is still much too slow and ask that the year-built date be moved to 1978, the year the use of lead paint was discontinued. How often do you have an ordinance that addresses so many of the urgent issues that are on your plates? We obviously know that the ordinance was started to save trees, use less energy, be sustained, you know, increase our sustainability. And we've heard the wonderful reports on the entry-level jobs with growth potential for so many parts of our community that don't have that opportunity. But also think about the better quality, lower cost materials that enable repairing rather than replacing house parts, making our affordable homes, the truly affordable homes, the ones that already exist, more affordable to maintain. and that creating small businesses that do not require college degrees or large capital, saving the urban tree canopy. A big machine comes in, you lose your trees. Eliminating a widespread source of pollution affecting public health in all the neighborhoods, not just focused hotspots. And eliminating a cause of learning disabilities and behavior disorders that gravely affect children for the rest of their lives, not just providing programs to ameliorate their disabilities, which cost a lot of money, but stopping them from occurring in the first place. All this in a single ordinance with negligible cost. An ordinance whose only stated downside is that the building industry is having to quickly adapt to a somewhat different way of operating that they knew was coming and have already begun to embrace. One that is nothing more than being responsible for their impact on the neighbors and their role in the waste stream. We can no longer ignore hazardous materials pollution from demolishing buildings, obviously. The discussion around Senate Bill 871 is looking at best practices for demolitions. But deconstruction simply is the best practice and needs to be the way all buildings are demolished. In the DAG, we talk about the challenge of the abundance that will result from more deconstructions. A challenge of abundance. An abundance of good quality salvage materials and job and business opportunities from deconstruction companies and the salvage materials outlets, which you've heard today are popping up already, and from that to creation and sales of reuse products, which we haven't talked about today. We have put our toe in the water in the first phase of the ordinance. There is some trepidation, even though the results have been good. We've been somewhat bold, but we're still holding back. We need to trust the businesses to rise to the occasion. We need to remember that deconstruction just makes sense. It will work. Instead of worrying that it might fail, let's put our energy into building on what we have started, the trainings, the certifications, the networking. Please weigh any short-term challenges against all the benefits that will be lost and damage done in even just a year if we limit the requirement for deconstructions to 1926 during this period of rampant demolitions. The waste in the landfills, the loss of good quality materials from maintaining low-income homes, the lost income from new jobs, the pollution of the neighborhood children. Please set the bar at least 1978 so we can celebrate all that we will have accomplished by doing so.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Margaret Davis. I'm a Northeast Portland resident, and I also work with United Neighborhoods for Reform, which is a grassroots group whose anti-demolition and responsible growth effort has been endorsed by 43 neighborhoods citywide. Props to Sean Wood and the Deconstruction Advisory Group for this proposal and for helping protect public safety with the ordinance. It's a step forward for Portland, a city known for sustainable solutions. The problem here is demolition. Not only does demolition remove a usually viable, affordable home from the landscape forever, it also often leaves amid clouds of toxic dust, exposing anyone within 400 feet to hazardous materials such as lead and asbestos. Before 1978, a gallon of paint had 15 pounds of lead in it. Now imagine how many gallons of paint would go on a house before it was demolished. Also, the Centers for Disease Control says there's no safe amount of lead in children. This is not a new problem, and wouldn't it be great if we could put it firmly in our past? Deconstruction is a slam dunk for Portland. If our city must lose a house, and we debate whether this is necessary, given our copious vacant land available, then at least the house should be recycled. I'm betting you all recycle. I would also bet that you don't litter. There's laws against that. And yet, tear-down builders think it's okay to dust thousands of Portland residents and properties with hazardous materials that carry a lifetime of ills for anyone or thing in the fallout zone. Mechanical demolitions litter, sometimes lethally. You might hear that the reuse industry would be swamped with materials or not enough labor can be found to recycle these homes. But if that were true, by the same token, we should cool the unabated building boom occurring now with its insatiable demand for materials and labor. How can it be such a problem to recycle and so easy to demolish and landfill those homes? If we're not recycling, we really are throwing it all away. Developers might complain that the expense of deconstruction, usually just a few thousand dollars more than mechanical means, is unaffordable to them, but that's nothing compared to the cost of addressing lifelong health problems or learning disabilities. Please extend the requirement for deconstruction to apply to homes built before 1978, when lead paint was outlawed for residential use. Portland in the past has dared to be different and bold and proactively progressive. We stand ready to help the city make positive headlines again. and to send the message that the greenest home is the one left standing. If not, it must be recycled. It's what we do. With the demolition-heavy residential infill project and House Bill 2007 looming, the decision you consider today has great ramifications. As an activist, I know Portland leaders must step up to protect public health and safety. As a mom, I wonder if my kid can't pay attention in class because there were 7 demolitions on my block. As a Portland resident, I hope you'll take your public safety charge seriously and make mechanical demolition a hazard of the past, and deconstruction the only way a pre-1978 house leaves our landscape. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I just want to make clear that today we're not adopting any new policies. We're accepting a report from the committee, but we're hearing loudly and clearly from a number of people testifying that they'd like us to consider an expansion of that timeline.
We can do it.
But that's not what we're doing today, just so you know. We're accepting the report and getting the feedback that you're providing.
When do you expect you will make a decision then?
That's up to the will of the council and the committee, so we'll get back to you. I mean, we're hearing it, and I think it makes sense, provided that we can absorb it, and as a strategy, I agree with it.
Great.
But I just want to be clear, we're not taking a vote today on to extend it. We're just accepting the report.
All right.
And we do appreciate the testimony.
The report does say that they're going to come back in 6 months with a goal of expanding it by January 1st of next year.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Mayor, I move the report.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion before we take the roll? Please call the roll. Thank you, ladies, for your testimony.
Fish. Well, thanks for the report and all the good news. Thanks to the folks who took time out of their busy days to come tell us the success stories. And we wish you abundant success, obviously. And I appreciate, Mayor, the testimony we've had about some of the household hazards. There are 3 ways this council can address the issue of household hazards generally. And we know we're talking about lead and asbestos in particular, but it's not limited to that. Number one is that we can ensure that a buyer of a home knows what the risk factors are in that house. And we've started to take steps to expand disclosure. We now require disclosure about an energy score, which is important. But I think the right to know principle needs to be strengthened. So there is an area there I think we could do some good work. The second is we can work with the community to strengthen state law. State law currently is woefully inadequate and they don't have the resources, frankly, to enforce the law about asbestos removal, for example, before a demolition and things of that nature. And so we need to strengthen those laws and the oversight. And the third, and I think almost the most important for me, is we have to find ways of creating cost-effective mechanisms for people to get these hazards out of their home. We shouldn't have to wait till you sell your home to make it safe. And what we know is that for a lot of cost-burdened households, it's very difficult to get this out without some kind of help. We provide some measure of help to do energy efficiency upgrades, and we have figured out ways to do that. I think we need to be thinking creatively over time of how we can get lead out of people's pipes and how we can get asbestos out of the walls and lead paint out of the walls, because as long as that's there, it's a risk to the homeowner. And that is separate and apart from the risk that happens to a demolition. So I think these issues have been framed for us, and the question is between notice and state law and cost-effective ways for doing remedial work, I think we have some work that we can do as a council. I thank everyone for a very illuminating presentation. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to start out by acknowledging former Mayor Charlie Hales for his leadership on this effort here that we're bestowing accolades on today. I think it's rare when the city council actually gets it right and actually comes up with a policy that really is a win for the environment, actually creates jobs, and creates new small businesses. I mean, it's really rare when we get it that right. So I think we've really, to not use a pun, hit the nail squarely on the head here. We have a solid policy that helps our environment, helps the neighbors around demolitions, but also, as we've seen, created jobs and new businesses. So it's really, I'm heartfelt, overjoyed to hear this. And in fact, I just had my bathroom deconstructed by Lovett. I don't know if you were on the job or not, but can't recognize people in their hard hats. But I was really pleased to have a deconstruction of my bathroom. And I think this is something that, more and more people are going to be warm to. And I think it's right to look at this policy and to do it in the right way that will continue to get as many materials reused as possible, but also make sure we don't overwhelm the market, which could then have a negative impact on the businesses that are relying on this market to grow and prosper. So we need to get it right, too, and continue to get it right. Please vote aye.
You, Daly.
Thank you for your report, and thank you to the community members for your testimony. I do not believe that we should be giving developers or anyone else the choice to pollute our environment and unnecessarily burden our landfills. I fully support accelerating the timeline of the deconstruction requirement to at least 1941, and as well as putting some extra protections in place for those homes that fall between 41 and 78, or maybe just right up to now, to abate lead and asbestos and deal with other issues. So we are anxiously awaiting the state's decision around those issues, and my office will be working on creating more stringent rules for Portland, specifically around lead and asbestos abatement. And I also look forward to working with Commissioner Fritz through the parks and through BDS on strengthening our tree code in order to better protect our urban canopy. So I gave testimony in support of this ordinance. It was one of the first times I testified at City Council last year, and I'm really pleased to get to continue to play some kind of role. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, Commissioner Saltzman, I think you're a little modest when you said that this is one of the few times we've got these kinds of things right. I think a number of the things that you led in the Office of Sustainable Development, particularly the renovations to the recycling programs and such, would also come under that category, again, in partnership with Susan Anderson, the director. I also go further back and laud Mayor Sam Adams for his vision in putting the Bureau of Planning and the Office of Sustainable Development together under Susan Anderson's leadership and really put our climate action plan into actions that are working. And so I'm very excited that this has worked. I think we were a bit nervous, the three of us who were here last year, whether it would pan out the way we thought it was going to, and it's great to hear this has been successful. Thank you particularly. It was nice of the folks who testified and took time to be here today to compliment the staff and the training that they got, because it's a full parcel of stuff. It's not just doing a policy. That's one of the advantages of the commission form of government, that we make policy and then we are also responsible for implementing them and making sure that people have the resources they need for the policy to be successful. So I do appreciate Mayor Hales and now Mayor Wheeler continuing to carry the baton on that level. So aye.
Wheeler.
Great work, everybody, and thanks to those of you who came to testify. I know you're all eager to get back out onto the job site. I'll just go big on this and say this is further proof that improving the environment around us can be done in a way that is socially just, that also creates economic prosperity for people who are often left out of the equation when it comes to new opportunities around business development, higher wages, job training, and economic opportunity. So this is one more data point disproving the theory that being environmentally conscientious is bad for business. Just the opposite is true, and your testimony today is living proof that that is the case. So thank you all. Obviously, I'm very happy to support this. I look forward to the report coming back from the committee in 6 months, having weighed the pros and cons of extending the timeline. It sounds like there's a consensus to do that. So I would very eagerly await where you think that line could be drawn and how we could expand this program in a judicious manner. So thank you all. I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thanks.
Mayor?
Commissioner Fish.
We have a time-certain proclamation, and we have some folks here for that. And we also have a regular agenda item proclamation, and we have some folks that are also with us. So I'm hoping we can hear those two proclamations back-to-back and then pull up the consent stuff.
Yeah, that makes good sense. We'll do that first. Let's go to item 49.